And we continue at 106 in the afternoon. Talk Radio 790 KABC, The John Phillips Show. Broadcasting live in exile from the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Living Room Studios. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wang's at the sports desk in Culver City.
John, it's election season leading up to the June primary, and that means the LA Times is dropping endorsements left and right. In LA City Council District 1, the LA Times decided to not endorse Gil Cedillo for a third term in favor of a challenger who likes to defund the police and build bike lanes.
If anyone deserves to be thrown under a bus, it's Gil Cedillo.
Well, that is true. But the people that they are endorsing to challenge the incumbents make you beg for the incumbents to win.
No, the person that they are endorsing is a complete nut job. But still, irrespective of that, Gil Cedillo deserves to be thrown under a bus.
She's described as a defund the police advocate who also helped get the LA County Board of Supervisors to defund the sheriff's department.
You look at these endorsements from the LA Times, and it's just the next one's crazier than the first one.
It's almost like, oh, we have got breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. Let me hit the breaking news sounder.
Now, breaking on AM 790 KABC.
Chuck Grassley's report on Eric Garcetti has dropped.
Uh-oh.
The headline from the Los Angeles Times, as I was clicking on their endorsement page, I saw the red banner fly up. Garcetti, quote, likely knew or should have known about AIDS alleged misconduct, Senate report finds.
Well, that's obvious to anyone who's been following that story. Eric Garcetti is a liar, liar, pants on fire. And we have multiple eyewitnesses who were there. And there are certain things that maybe you didn't hear or maybe you didn't interpret as over the line. But when Rick Jacobs was dry humping that woman in the elevator and Eric Garcetti had to physically separate the two of them, Stevie Wonder could see that.
And there are enough people corroborating that story and the dozens of other stories about Rick Jacobs harassing employees up and down City Hall for years and years and years. And Eric Garcetti giggling most of the time.
I love the fact that just because he's bad at his job is not a disqualifying factor for a promotion.
The 23-page report released by Chuck Grassley concluded that, quote, Garcetti likely knew or should have known that Rick Jacobs was sexually harassing multiple individuals and making racist comments towards others.
Racist comments?
I don't think we know about that one.
What were those?
I gotta know. Let me read this report.
Well, I guess the victims, they were men and women. So I guess, I don't know if the door swings both ways or what.
I will be diving deep into finding this report, finding out what we can. But it looks like at this point, how do they get this vote across the finish line? It's over.
They can't. This is done because this is what the Senate came up with. And it shows you that the LA report was cooked.
Well, and you know, last week Garcetti flew to Washington to personally lobby in front of all the senators' offices.
Well, I hope he bought a return ticket, too, because the prices for airline tickets are going up as well.
So there you have it. The Senate has an official report saying that, yeah, Garcetti knew.
All right. Before you sift through that to find the racist jokes, tell the people what happened with Hannah Tubbs.
So James, quote, Hannah Tubbs, the child molester who lied about being a transgender so George Gascon would throw him in a girls' juvie facility instead of charging him as an adult for a horrific crime, he was actually all set to get out of juvie next month.
Although, if he is at an all-girls juvenile detention facility, wouldn't he get out and throw a brick through a window so they'd put him back in?
Exactly. Why would he want to leave? But Hannah Tubbs has now, well, I'm not going to call him Hannah. James Tubbs has been charged with murder and robbery by Kern County and is being transferred from juvie to an actual Kern County jail where this jackass now awaits murder charges. George Gascon refused to charge this guy as an adult, even though he was over the age of 18. He was 25 when they caught him. The crime was committed 2 months before his 18th birthday, a horrific rape of a 10-year-old. But George Gascon fell hook, line, and sinker for the BS that James was Hannah, and Hannah was just having a mental health crisis.
So let's think about this for a second. This is a man who we know is a kiddie diddler, who is 26 years old, who is also alleged to be a murderer in Kern County. In Los Angeles County, we have him in custody, and the district attorney puts him in an all-girls juvenile detention facility. In Kern County, they want to put him in prison with men.
That's right. Law enforcement sources have told our buddy Bill Malusian, who is the number one source for this story, that this is relation to a robbery and homicide that took place in Kern County in 2019. Tubbs was set to be released as soon as next month and was not going to have to register as a sex offender, thanks to George Gascon. Now he faces his fourth strike in California and life in prison.
So if George Gascon had gotten his way, this guy would have more time in a juvenile detention facility for girls and then would have been released, where he almost certainly would have molested and murdered another young girl.
And didn't have to register as a sex offender. That was part of the deal that Hannah got.
Well, I don't want to hear about the penal code when he has a press conference about this one. This Hannah has caused too many problems already with the penal code.
Again, I can only try to figure out what people do by when they do it. I think the reason George Gascon called together that very hastily press conference about Dave Chappelle wasn't to defend himself about the penal code. It was so this story would fall off the map.
Joining us to talk about this and much, much more is Republican campaign strategist, who you can follow on Twitter at Lonnie Leitner. Lonnie Leitner, welcome.
Hello, hello. How are you today?
I am good, although when you look at the details of this case, and this is not something that is unique to George Gascon, this is the way all of these Soros-funded prosecutors see the world, whether it's here in San Francisco, in New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, wherever. They believe that taking this child molester, this adult child molester, and someone who's accused of murder and sexual assault in a different county, that putting them in a juvenile detention facility for girls and releasing them without requiring them to register as a sex offender is justice. How in the hell does this sell?
It doesn't sell. And just look at the Los Angeles County Sheriff. You know, he's prosecuted and pushed thousands, I think over 12,000 cases to the DA's office, and Gascon ultimately declined to prosecute any of them, giving them a slap on the wrist. People need to wake up and hold him accountable. And I think his actions are going to have severe implications up and down the ballot all over California if the Republicans can play it right.
One of the things that people like our governor, Gavin Newsom, and Nancy Pelosi and others say over and over and over again, Joe Biden, the president, the Democratic Party is not a soft on crime party. So don't accuse us of not wanting to put criminals in prison. Yet you look at these elected district attorneys who are of the Democratic Party, when they are given the power of running a district attorney's office, this is what they do with their power. I don't see how you can separate the George Gascons of the world from the Gavin Newsoms and the Joe Bidens and the Nancy Pelosis.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, 2 years ago, I'm from Minneapolis. 2 years ago, you had every Democrat led by Ilhan Omar basically saying, well, she did say that the police are rotten to their core and they should be dismantled. That wasn't a slip of the tongue. She was telling the truth. I really think Democrats, you know, they hate America. They don't respect cops. And this George Soros funding of these DAs and prosecutors, it's just a joke. You know, Soros is also funding getting attorney generals in. So just one example, in Minnesota, Keith Ellison was a member of Congress, a ranking member of Democrat. I think he was the number two at the DNC. And George Soros brought him back to Minnesota to be the attorney general. So he's the head cop in Minnesota when the George Floyd riots hit. And what does he do? He leads the efforts to defund the police in Minneapolis. This is by no accident. This is very carefully crafted out and implemented. by the George Soros backing money of candidates at all levels of state government.
These people are really politically radical. Yet you look at what's going on in San Francisco with the Chesa Boudin recall. The San Francisco Chronicle, the paper of record for San Francisco, came out and endorsed Chesa Boudin and came out against the recall. Here in Los Angeles, the owner's daughter, the owner of the paper, his daughter, who is very active politically, she almost certainly will cause that paper to come down against the recall of George Gascon and say, no, we should leave him in office. It's really the newspapers and the media, the big city papers in these cases, that keep their foot on the gas pedal.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And if we had an honest media, an objectionable media, they would be asking every Democrat from dog catcher to United States Senate to the governor in California if they support these prosecutors and, you know, make the answer for it every single day. You know, if it was a Republican, the media would be hounding them. You know, do you disavow? Do you support? But nothing out of the media. They are just blocking and tackling for these guys to just fail at their job. It's a dereliction of duty.
We're speaking with Lonnie Leitner, who you can follow on Twitter at Lonnie Leitner and get online at LonnieLeitner.com. You mentioned the attorney general race. We have one that's going to be on the ballot here in California, where the appointed incumbent, Rob Bonta, is also a Soros-supported prosecutor, formerly a state assemblyman from the East Bay, and he's going to be running for his first full term. If there's any office statewide in California that's winnable for Republicans and independents or people who don't want to go in that direction statewide, it's that office. But I would imagine it's still an uphill battle. Do you believe that that office is winnable this cycle for a Republican or at least a decline the state, but certainly to the right of Rob Bonta type of candidate?
You know, anything is possible this year. I think the red wave is going to be so large that if Republicans are smart, they're going to have candidates running in every single seat, even the seats right now that they don't think are winnable. I was just listening to Newt Gingrich the other day at a lunch explain in 1994, they won seats in inner city Chicago. They knocked off the...
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The chairman of the Ways and Means, and then they knocked off the Speaker of the House in Spokane, Washington. And before the election, they couldn't have looked you in the eye and said that they could even fathom knocking those people off. But the 94 wave was so big. And, you know, they won all those seats and they retook control of the U.S. House. And this year is going to be even bigger. So, yes, I do think that the attorney general's race is winnable. But, you know, it's going to take California's a big state. There's a lot of diverse areas and issues that the candidates, it's going to cost a lot of money. And, you know, Republicans, we've got to properly vet our candidates so we know that we've got the best candidates on the ballot that can appeal to not only the Republican base, but can make some inroads with independents. I was just looking at the congressional ballot, independents, they approve of Biden by only, you know, 39%. So the independents are with us. Now we just have to message to them and tell them that it's okay to vote for a Republican.
You live in a blue state. You live in Minnesota. And in
tell me about it.
In Minnesota, you guys can still elect Republicans statewide to certain offices, and you do well in state legislative races. You look at other blue states like, say, Massachusetts or Maryland or up in the Northeast in places like Vermont, where Democrats have a huge registration advantage over Republicans. In those states, Republicans manage to win statewide races. Why is it that they can do it in Minnesota and Massachusetts and Maryland, but not California?
Well, it's interesting, you know. So Minnesota is a very blue state. However, we have an independent streak. If you may remember, we elected Jesse Ventura governor in 1998. We've always had strong third parties. So I was just talking today with a woman that's running against Ilhan Omar. And if there's a strong legalized marijuana candidate in that congressional district, it's going to pull a lot of votes from the Democrats. So, you know, we're going to be winning seats because of strong third party candidates. I'll share a sad statistic with you. The last time a Republican got 51% of the vote in Minnesota statewide was 1994. Now, yes, we've had Senator Norm Coleman. Yes, we've had Governor Tim Pawlenty, but they only won with 43-44% of the vote because of that third party. And Massachusetts is a little bit different. Massachusetts, they like to send Democrats and liberals to Washington, D.C., so they're voting liberal on the federal level, but they like their executive, their governors, to be Republicans. So we've had a lot of success with good candidates running for governor that weren't, you know, far right, far left, pretty centrist. In Massachusetts, seems to be okay with having a Republican in the state house, but liberal Democrats at the federal level.
Lonnie Leitner, Republican campaign strategist. You can follow him on Twitter at Lonnie Leitner and get him online at LonnieLeitner.com. That's Lonnie with a Y. Lonnie Leitner, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
The Grassley report, or I guess I should say the U.S. Senate report on Eric Garcetti and his alleged wrongdoing in the case of top aide Rick Jacobs sexually harassing other employees, has finally dropped. Randy has sifted through it. Randy, what do we know?
Well, the biggest finding that I'm seeing so far is that what the Senate report found is that when Garcetti had his own investigation and talked to select staffers about what was going on with harassment and Rick Jacobs at City Hall for years and years and years, the report that they submitted to the Senate pretty much is a cover-up.
Because, of course it is. Duh.
They talked to so many different people that conflicted what was said in that report, and the fact that the people that were interviewed in that report knew that Garcetti was the one that originated the report meant a lot of people were not speaking truthfully about the things that they had overheard or seen with their own eyes.
This is what happens in a one-party state, in a one-party city, where the media is in bed with the party in power. You can do something like cook up a fake report and present it to the United States Senate and not have an organization like the Los Angeles Times do basic reporting that calls you out. We were doing it here. Other news outlets were doing it, but not the paper of record, because maybe the boss's daughter, the owner's daughter, wanted him to be the ambassador.
The first thing that caught my eye as I'm trying to, as quickly as I can, skim through this 23-page report is there are a lot of receipts, there are a lot of figures, there are a lot of pictures. And the first picture on page 6 of this report is the famous photo of Eric Garcetti with his thumbs up Fonzie style with a bunch of government dignitaries and Rick Jacobs holding his hand over somebody's crotch.
Did he feel it needed extra support?
The Senate actually talked to the person who was in that picture, who had the hand over his crotch, said at the time of the picture, he wasn't aware Rick was doing that and was very embarrassed about it.
How was he not aware that Rick was doing that? If I have a coworker who is using his hands as a jockstrap on my person, I think I would be aware of it.
Well, it was at the U.S. Conference of Mayors in Miami in 2017. They were probably all hammered.
That's true.
But the thing
is, I'll give him a pass on that one.
The reason that this picture is floating around in this report is because at the time in 2017 and 2018, as this picture had been seen, staffers at City Hall were sending it to each other saying, have you seen this photo?
Of course they were.
Because they knew what was going on.
That's what you do at the office. If someone makes an ass out of themselves at the company Christmas party and there are pictures involved Everyone in that organization is going to see them.
There are a lot of accounts of sexual harassment that we knew about, specifically Naomi Seligman, who is the whistleblower who has gone on the record, and all the conversations that he's had, that she's had with people like Anna Guerrero, Garcetti's chief of staff, the one with that snotty Facebook group that was making fun of people's weight at City Hall, where in the report that Garcetti tried to put out, she was denying things, but there are several corroborating sources, including staffers, that all say, nope, she's witnessed it and she's reported to Eric Garcetti. Another fantastic tale is one staffer who at one point worked in the Obama administration testified under oath to the Senate that, yes, he had Garcetti tell him, I can't believe we made it this far without Rick Jacobs leading to a lawsuit.
That's one of the few true statements that Garcetti has made.
Except Garcetti denies that he ever made that statement. Except there are multiple people making that statement. There are screenshots of texts of people reporting sexual harassment, complaining about sexual harassment. Eric Garcetti's press secretary, Alex Commissar's Rick hit on me last week is in here. But the thing that was, at least the thing that was so shocking so far, was we had not heard about racist behavior as well as the sexual harassment coming from Rick Jacobs. And apparently there's a lot of it, and it centers around the U.S.-China Climate Summit held in Los Angeles in 2015.
This is why they like climate change so much. Climate change involves a lot of conferences where you can go get drunk and molest the help.
Apparently, at the time, Rick Jacobs had an assistant named Jonathan Yang, and I'm going to be quoting here. He would refer to his assistant, Jonathan Yang, sometimes as China Man, sometimes as China Boy. When there were visitors from China for this climate summit that only spoke Mandarin, Rick Jacobs would refer to them as, quote, and again, I'm quoting here. This is Rick Jacobs talking, the yellow people, and would refer to his assistant, Jonathan Yang, as his yellow friend.
Now, in the report, did they mention whether or not his use of the word Chinaman was more offensive or less offensive than when he would call him a China boy?
Apparently, one time he said, quote, hey, China boy, come over here. But now the reason that this is in the report, and this is what's important, is that the Senate found out this information. They talked to the whistleblowers, and none of this was in Eric Garcetti's orchestrated fake report.
Well, none of this is sexual in nature, I guess, unless where he was telling them to come over here.
But it is harassment nonetheless.
That's true.
I mean, whether it's sexual or not, using racial slurs in the office, you can't just do that, especially when you're in a position of power.
In front of a room full of people, too? He doesn't know better than that?
One staffer told investigators that she heard from other staff that Mr. Jacobs had made racist comments towards other minorities in the office, such as racial jokes to her African-American deputy, purposely calling two Indian employees by the incorrect names and saying, quote, I can't tell you people apart. And when this staffer tried to report this behavior to Anna Guerrero, everyone would always say the same thing. Rick will always be this powerful. Nothing will ever change. Don't try to fight it.
It's funny to me that he was this cavalier in that super woke office. I can tell you a story. I am the least woke person on planet Earth.
Yes, you can tell that by the joke you told last hour.
But even with that, I'm uncomfortable going in that direction. In the desert, one of the things that happens when you get invited to dinner at a rich person's house is that many of them have live-in cooks. So you go there for dinner. It's not them preparing something for you. It's one of their employees preparing something for you in a restaurant-style presentation at a private home. So I went over to this couple's home for dinner as an invited guest, and they had a cook who was there who was also serving drinks and those sorts of things. And the individual's name was Boy. I don't know how it was spelled, but the first name was Boy. And it was a very informal sort of setting. And he said, please refer to me by my name, which is Boy.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Which means if you want another scotch on the rocks, you're supposed to say, Boy, I would like another scotch on the rocks. And I sat there thinking to myself, there is no way I can do this with this not sounding awful. So I would refer to him as Sir. And then he would come over to me and he would correct me and say, no, this is an informal setting. I really would prefer to be referred to by my name. And I said, sir, I am sorry. I cannot do that.
Oh, boy.
That's what he wanted to hear.
Now, another thing that's mentioned in this report, of course, is the shocking story that Naomi Seligman has told on this show multiple times of a staffer who was assaulted in an elevator in Washington, D.C. by Rick Jacobs in front of Eric Garcetti. And Garcetti had to, quote, tell him to cut it out. They talked to that staffer. And she did not deny it.
There you go. See, if the investigation is conducted by someone other than Garcetti and his immediate staff, you're going to get different answers.
There is another whistleblower who testifies saying Jacobs harassed multiple people at a party at Getty House, which is Garcetti's residence, where he was harassing young men, young women, and gay men. Apparently, Rick Jacobs went up to one person and assaulted the individual's back with his groin.
His back with his groin.
He rubbed up.
What is this, Twister?
And this might be the funniest thing that I've seen in here. Another piece of evidence that is put at the end of this report is when the lawsuit dropped in June of 2020 that Matt Garza, the police officer, was being sexually harassed for years and years and years by Rick Jacobs, and Garcetti would just giggle about it. There are text messages from several different Garcetti staffers, whether it's to Naomi Seligman or other whistleblowers or in groups, like text message groups with other staffers, celebrating the fact that Rick Jacobs was getting sued. Alex Commissar said, and I don't have to say allegedly because it's right there in the text message, looks like it's finally happening with Rick. A woman named Robin said, OMG, scary face emoji. It was only a matter of time before Jacobs would get stung by his outrageous behavior. Wowzer! As if Garcetti's works isn't bad enough.
Well, I have some news to break on this story. At 2:35, Naomi Seligman is going to be here.
All right.
I believe that's going to be her first interview since this story broke.
And this story is a story because of her. She wasn't going to just take Eric Garcetti and his phony report, try to stift his way to get to India and get past the Senate. She went to the whistleblower organization. She knocked on every senator's door that would talk to her, and she convinced Chuck Grassley to put this investigation forward. And that's why we have this report that is almost guaranteed to make sure that Eric Garcetti does not advance through the Senate to his India ambassadorship and will have to sit here in Los Angeles in shame for the next 6 months.
Just to repeat, Naomi Seligman, the woman of the hour, will be here at 2:35. Make sure you stick around. The whistleblower that caused the U.S. Senate to do their job and determine that Eric Garcetti is a liar is going to be here at 2:35, so definitely make sure you stick around for that. Now, Randy, you're keeping an eye on Twitter to see how the world is reacting to this report.
I follow a lot of journalists because that's what I use Twitter for, is to find out breaking news. And this is being talked about by every local journalist, every state journalist, D.C. journalist, journalists in other languages. It's only a matter of time before this gets to the Indian media, and I think we know what they're going to say.
Critics say this largely is Garcetti's fault.
And people, as we see the drip, drip, drip of reporters trying to, as fast as they can, read through this 23-page report that is damning for Garcetti and damning for his high-level staffers like his chief of staff, who knowingly lied in Garcetti's phony report that he submitted to the Senate that, quote, cleared him of all wrongdoing.
Now, what is the reaction so far on Twitter?
A lot of people are saying he not going to India. Although one person makes a joke at Grassley, Garcetti's political ambitions and career ruined by a guy who doesn't know what year it is.
Although hey, Grassley, it's Feinstein, the one that they're saying is losing it.
Yeah. In fact, Chuck Grassley, who is as old as Dianne Feinstein, he held like 100 town halls in Iowa in the last year. And Dianne Feinstein hasn't talked to her constituents in 5 years.
Let me tell you Chuck Grassley's story. He's what, 88 years old?
He's up there.
Okay. I have a friend who's a reporter on Capitol Hill.
88.
Who at the time was covering the U.S. Senate for Bloomberg. And he would have to run down the hallways and chase down the senators and get a comment from them on whatever the subject was that day, or ask them if they would sit down for an interview on Bloomberg, that sort of thing. And my friend, whose weight fluctuates from very heavy to normal, was in one of his heavy phases. And he had to run about 80 feet, and he was totally out of breath by the time he got to Chuck Grassley. And Chuck Grassley looked at him and goes, "Are you okay?" And he goes, "Yeah, I just had to run 80 feet. And he goes, "80 feet? You need to start exercising and eating better. Watch this." And Chuck Grassley, at the age of 88, although back then it was probably 86, dropped to the floor and started doing push-ups.
Axios has a response from a White House spokesperson, although they're not named, to this Garcetti report. Quote, according to a White House spokesperson that talked to Axios, this partisan report was a hit job from the beginning, and many of the claims have already been conclusively debunked by more serious independent reports.
Like what? From the city of Los Angeles?
The White House also says the president has confidence in Mayor Garcetti and believes he will be an excellent representative in India in a crucial moment, and calls for the Senate to swiftly confirm him. This is the part of the story that I never made any sense to me. Why is Garcetti worth it to be this hill that you're going to die on? They have dropped a lot of different nominees for a lot of other positions for much less.
Okay, let's look at their argument. The argument of the White House is this is a partisan hit job on a Democratic nominee. He is a Democratic elected mayor in Los Angeles. I would assume that the vast majority of people who work for him in his office are also Democrats. This report interviewed people who work for him who were there through the Rick Jacobs saga. If what they're alleging is true, then statements that were given to the Senate report could be disputed by the people who spoke to the Senate. If the Senate's saying that Naomi Seligman said X and she really said Y, Naomi Seligman would come forward and say, "That's not what I said. This is what I said."
We are talking to dozens of staffers. We're talking to people that have gone through whistleblower organizations, talking about being victims of sexual harassment in the second largest city in the country's city hall. What you're saying by saying this is a partisan hit job is you don't believe victims.
That's right. Because it's not like they just spoke with one person. They spoke with a lot of people who worked in that office. All of whom, again, hired by Eric Garcetti. If it was a partisan hit job, they wouldn't have participated in that.
What was partisan was the report that Garcetti submitted, where you had staffers, because they weren't under oath in that report, blatantly saying, "I don't know what you're talking about. I never texted that Rick Jacobs hit on me."
Now, here is the risk for Biden. Biden's approval numbers are what, in the 30s or the low 40s, depending on which poll you're looking at?
They're pretty low.
Yeah.
Now that this report is out, if the Biden administration digs in their heels, this is going to generate a lot of attention. And if it generates a lot of attention, you better make sure the argument that you're making is sound. Because if this is the hill that you die on, as you said, and you don't have the facts on your side, which they don't, this is going to be completely embarrassing for the administration.
And it's fascinating to me, too, because if you want to talk about doing something that has bipartisan support, the left and the right hate Eric Garcetti. Throw him under the bus already.
His approval rating is even in Los Angeles in the last poll that I saw.
Yes, but you ask the average person in Los Angeles who the mayor is, and they think it's still Villaraigosa.
That's true. Some of them probably think it's Tom Bradley. I, honest to God, didn't think this Tuesday would be this busy.
We're action-packed today.
But life is full of surprises, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
We have one more hour coming up on the John Phillips Show, including the whistleblower extraordinaire Naomi Seligman. Don't you go anywhere, 790 KABC.
Repeating an untruth doesn't make it any less untrue.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
that
way.
We're all with child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.